I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here to break down everything Green Bay Packers related, Mike Clemens, who is sponsored by Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com. It always pays big to catch your insights, Mike. Good to have you here with us.
Thanks, Kevin. So today at practice, still no sign of MVS. You remember you got that knee rolled up Monday night against the Lions? It's listed as a knee and ankle injury, so he has not practiced this week. Geronimo Allison, he had four or five hard hits before he got just knocked out with a shot to the ribs and also a concussion. And so, as the coach just said there, yeah, Devontae's out. And we talked to Devontae yesterday, and he said, it feels a million times better than it did 3 weeks ago on Thursday night against the Eagles, just, excruciating pain. But it's a question of, is it healed? Can he dig his toes and make cuts and play like he wants to? No, not yet. And that's really not a surprise when you start reading up about what a turf toe injury is and the ligaments that are torn, et cetera, the toes extended, way back. So LaFleur just asked about 20 minutes ago, so what's the stat? I mean, you got 48 hours to determine what? With Geronimo Allison and his concussion and Marquez Valdes-Scantling with his knee and ankle, what's the prognosis?
One's got to get through the protocol and the other one has to, he's got to make progress of where he can function. And because you never want to put a guy out there and ask him to do something that his body's not capable of doing. First and foremost, he's got to be able to protect himself. And then he's got to be able to go play at the level that we expect him to play at.
So all of a sudden, is your most experienced receiver Jake Kumerow?
Oh, man.
2 years with the Bengals and injury, last year with the Packers and, injured reserve and came back. Fourth year, he's never really started a game. Alan Lazard, who was a practice squad guy last year, okay, down in Jacksonville, along with Nathaniel Hackett, who suddenly shows up in the fourth quarter, that was like his second, third, and fourth, and fifth career receptions in the game against that. This kid out of North Dakota State, Darius Shepherd, who the ball bounces off his face mask and, it ends up costing Aaron Rodgers an interception because the Lions pick it up. Seriously, you're going to go into a game with those guys? And Nathaniel Hackett, the son of Paul Hackett, who started out McCarthy's career 30 years ago, was asked, hey, man, this is a pressure situation. What's it feel like to miss out on your top three receivers?
I feel great. I mean, it's kind of like gives people an opportunity to step up and compete, and you get to find how guys operate out on the field, and it's great for them, other guys to get practice, and it puts pressure. You always want competition, so the better other guys can get around people, the better other people get. So there's always something good that you can find in any situation.
Mike, I'm a fan of the competition. I'm a fan of finding talent. I don't know if I want it in week 7 of my season.
Yeah, you kind of want to check Nathaniel Hackett, your offensive coordinator's temperature, right? Like, are you feeling
feel
okay?
Great.
Are you feeling okay?
I feel great.
You're sure about this?
I feel great.
This is the NFL,
And I feel great.
If there's anything the Raiders have got, is they bring physicality. They may not have the smartest football player. This is the team that signed Vontaze Burfict.
Right. Oh, my
They're
goodness.
They're all badasses, Kevin. Have you seen, particularly, have you watched any film of the secondary? They take people's heads off.
Yeah?
And they, even in that 80-yard field in Winnipeg, in the preseason, that's the thing that I kept on watching. That Tim Boyle had some good passes and, got some things in their groove. But, oh, man, did those guys hit people. They hit people. They're very physical. They're probably not the brightest bunch, but they like to hit you.
So it's like the Eagles.
Yes.
The Eagles were that way.
Yeah, and how'd that turn out?
Right.
So Nathaniel Hackett is a guy who's been with Doug Marrone, first with the Bills and then the Jaguars. And then this Marrone guy, he's kind of imploding down there. Hackett became a scapegoat. Offensive coordinator. They got Blake Bortles at quarterback. Yeah. And so he's trying to work with this knucklehead. And he comes in on a Monday morning after another loss, And Hackett thinks that Doug is going to say to him, all right, we're going to bench Blake and, you know, move on to. And instead, he says, and you're fired. But has anybody been fired from the Broncos yet? After that? I don't know if you guys had a chance to see that game. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. I got sidetracked. I'm going to tell the story on the air now. There's 3 minutes left, and the Broncos are down by, what, 2 touchdowns against the Packers, mm-hmm. right, 2-3 weeks ago? And I get on the elevator, and as Joe knows, I don't know what the thing is about me, but all of a sudden, hold the elevator, and on comes the Broncos front office and John Elway. The doors close. They're down by, you know, 10, 11 points. 3 minutes left. He's giving up early on the game. There's 3 minutes left. But he watches Flacco on a 3rd-and-7 and dump off the ball again. Instead of, and he's like, why aren't they taking shots? Why are they dumping passes? This is John Elway.
Right.
What's with the checkdowns? And the same thing happened last night. All of a sudden, the Chiefs run up, you know, like a 21-point lead, and you're in the third quarter, and you could hear Troy Aikman last night saying, what is it with the Broncos? They're not even trying. What, they're running the football. You got Joe Flacco back there. Yeah, that's going to be some interesting changes going on in Denver. So Nathaniel Hackett, he's with Alan Lazard last year. This kid who's, you know, undrafted and makes the team. He was on their practice squad. So now here you see Alan Lazard in prime time, a guy that was in sync with Rodgers during training camp, and he was asked what went through his mind when he watched Lazard make those clutch plays against the Lions on Monday night.
Just looking at the situation, going down to try to win a game, whoever that person was going to be, I mean, you would have been in awe. And I think that what he did was just was awesome from that standpoint. Being with him earlier, you know, he's only in his second year, but I mean, he was a rookie, you know, undrafted free agent from Iowa State. I think the big thing for him was you love the person. I mean, you love the person, his work ethic. I mean, no matter what you said to him, he tried to do everything he possibly could. And then I had left there early, and then he got an opportunity to come here, and just, you know, even seeing him when I first got here was a breath of fresh air to see somebody that you've been with. And I mean, he's such a great guy, and he works so hard. And, you know, I mean, just some of the things that he's done just to his body to get him to where he's at right now, compared to where he was at Jacksonville, has been something. It's a big credit to him. And then to watch him actually go out there and execute, you know, that's what you love doing this profession for. So you can see great things like that happen.
Now, you know, Nathaniel Hackett's gotten one other alternative. It's this Ryan Grant guy that they signed, who was with the Redskins for 4 years, then with the Colts, then got cut by the Raiders 6 days after they, what, traded for Trevor Davis from Green Bay, right? And he's been sitting home waiting for the phone to ring. I don't even know if Ryan Grant lasts more than 2 or 3 weeks. Like, you know, when Davante Adams is active and they've got some other move they got to make, he might be the first guy out. I don't know. But whatever the case, it's interesting. I've learned this week about how much there's a network going on with this coaching staff and references probably to Brian Gutekunst. Gutekunst is still, he's still got the personnel board, but he's like, you know what? There's a guy that's on our charts, this Ryan Grant, who's free and wouldn't cost us a thing. We don't have to trade for him. He's sitting at home, and we still rate him very, very high when we saw him against in the Raiders in their camps there and with the Colts. And then they'll go down and they'll talk to assistant coaches like Kirk Olivandotti, inside linebacker coach, like, you were with this guy. What was he like? They'll go to Preston Smith. What's Ryan Grant like? And that they're doing that more networking like they have not done in the past. And Aaron Rodgers said, he was asked, you know, so where's this guy get off coming up to you in the huddle, number 13, you know, after one catch and saying, hey, Aaron, here's where I'd like the ball?
It's definitely a nice catch by him. He kind of double caught it, which helped him get in the end zone, I think, which is a fantastic idea by him. But no, I'm glad that, you know, there's enough trust there to give him the opportunity. And like I said, you know, when Matt gives me a couple plays and he allows the trust that he has in me to get to a play where we're calling a play, really to throw the ball to a guy who hasn't played a whole lot, kind of talks to the preparation and the confidence that we had in him. And like I said after the game, you know, when he's coming back to the huddle, tell me what he wants as a quarterback, it gives you a lot of confidence that the guy's going to make a play.
You've talked to Lazard.
Yeah, so that's the funny thing about Lazard, the joke about Lazard was I went on the air that night saying that I would accidentally slip up and talk about him in Spanish because I thought he was only going to be a preseason hero.
Yeah.
Like, if you say the words Miles White, you know, or exactly. Joel Buono. I think of them in a different light because we talk about him in Spanish in the preseason. So Lazard is just a dude I talked about in the mm-hmm. preseason in Spanish. But he, you know, now you're talking about him in a legitimate game. And as you mentioned, Mike, he comes up and he says after one catch, he's like, hey, this is what we want from Rodgers. So this is Lazard.
6'5", 227 pounds. And the question for him was like, so where do you get off going into Aaron Rodgers in this clutch situation and saying, yeah, here's what I want, man?
I think it's just my confidence. That's just the way I play. I think it was the first time I felt fully confident playing again, just, you know, being able to be out there for multiple snaps in a drive and whatnot, and just kind of get a feel and rhythm of the game. So I know 12, you know, he's a very intelligent person, and I know he likes to hear everything. So I just want to, you know, do that in his ear and turn out pretty good.
It validates the preseason a little bit because I got worried this preseason that it meant nothing. Glad it meant something for someone. That Alan Lazard got something out of it, and then he was able to turn it into a meaningful play, primetime game, and a win. More with Mike Clemens coming up in a moment on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This is why you spend all the money right here, okay? 55 and 91. 55 is Za'Darius Smith, is that defensive tackle. 91 at end. And here he comes, taking him down. Preston Smith. And they have two tight ends staying in protection, and still Preston Smith comes around him. Third second of the
night. That's number 91, Preston Smith. This is why you got to have impact players. What a get off. And he turns the corner against number 71. Impact players that can win one-on-one battles.
Well, yeah, we know we got a lot of guys who make sure we put emphasis each and every week on improving our technique and making sure we say, you know, assignment. You know, we hone in on our assignment, and we know we execute it the best way we can. We know we don't try to do nothing extra, get out of our assignment, and do anything to hurt the defense. We know if we stay assignment sound, that we can have great results.
Impact players. Because no offense to former players who had long, flowing blonde hair come out of their helmets, but the last impact player on defense for me was Woodson.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Mike Clemens joins us, Green and Gold right. Insider.
I don't know. You know, I mean, Clay had some sacks where he got, you know, roughing the passer. Same thing was happening to him this year with the Rams. He actually had like six sacks.
Yeah.
And they were calling some penalties on him. And then he broke his jaw,
right.
You know. Remember, he's pitching at the team charitable softball game, and he broke his nose, the ball drilled in his nose. I mean, just, it's been a rough couple of years for Clay Matthews.
Woo.
But yesterday, now listen, if you're watching Mike Pettine's defense, it's no surprise. If the opponent is behind their own 50, say their own 30-yard line, and it's third and six or more, if it's shorter, then they've got to play the run. But if it's third and six or more, that's what I've been told. Okay, let's put it that way.
That's
they're coming. He'll bring Adrian Amos, he'll bring Will Redmond, this backup safety, or he'll use one of these high priced outside linebackers, the Smith brothers, to go after the quarterback, and they'll do it every time on third down. That's just and it also helps if your offense has got you up by a touchdown or two, so you can take these shots, right? So we're talking to Za'Darius Smith yesterday about, hey, you know, you got any new celebrations planned for this game? And here's what Za'Darius had to say.
Coach don't want me to do celebrations anymore.
What?
What? Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, how many do you have in the hopper?
I had one for this week. It was going to be nice, too. But Coach, he felt like situations during that time that the punt team or they want to go for fourth down, and I'm taking up too much time, so... If you guys get a chance to interview him, we need the head coach. Yeah. So you get a chance, talk to him, get up to Roger Cadell, see if we could get some celebration time.
Just give you a timeout like after the touchdown.
Yeah. Have some time that minute. Yeah. That'll be awesome, man. Yeah. For all the fans out there, please do that.
Now, late at night, Monday night, after the game, after the locker room was almost completely empty and we're still hanging around with Za'Darius, he told us that on the morning of the game, he forgot they had a special teams meeting that he was supposed to be in. He was actually sitting in the hot tub. And Preston texted him like, dude, where are you at? You're supposed to be in this meeting. And he already really is. I said, oh, man, I'm going to get fined. So he didn't say, I was sitting downstairs in the hot tub, coach. when he walked into the meeting late, he just said, "I'm sorry, I overslept." They got through the meeting. He got his sack, and that's why he had his little celebration where he lay down on the field and took a nap. Except LaFleur is going out of his mind like, "What? Get off the ground. You know, we want punt recovery team in there. Get off the ground. You're slowing up the game." Now, LaFleur was just asked about a half hour ago, "Did you tell Za'Darius no more celebrations after a third down sack?"
That is incorrect.
Ooh.
What I told him was that they have better be done in a timely manner. So I don't want to see these guys celebrating when I see the punt team's already out on the field if it's a third down and we have to burn a timeout or we get flagged for too many men on the field. I know it a couple years back, and we showed the team this in the Oakland-Kansas City game. I think it was C.O. Moore and Khalil Mack or somebody, and it was a two-minute drill. And
they're on the other side of the line.
And they were on the other side of the line celebrating, and Kansas City's getting ready to snap the ball, and they had to burn a timeout. And I think Justin Tuck was on the defensive line, and he was letting them know about it. So it's basically to avoid those situations. So, but no, I want our guys to celebrate, to have fun. I like it when they celebrate together as a team. And certainly you want to have reasons to celebrate. So, and that's only if you're doing well out there, but yeah, just got to be smart about how we go about that.
So that's what LaFleur said after practice this morning,
mm-hmm.
a while ago. Now Za'Darius came into the locker room a few minutes ago, and then he had this response.
"Fans out there, we're back on with celebrations. Coach actually went over this morning in the team meeting. He actually showed the interview from yesterday, asked him about it and asking Roger Cadell. So he showed the video of a sack celebration. Who was it, Dallas?
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, I think they got the sack, and punt team came on.
They got were not situational aware.
Yeah, they actually got a flag, so that was basically what he was saying. Did not take up too much time, but we got something for you guys this week, and it won't take up as much time as we've been taking, so.
Be short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Dallas. Note to Za'Darius. Bring a notebook to the team meetings. Just tonight, especially when you're the subject matter of a all team meeting. You know? Bring a pen, buddy. Dallas.
I have to throw a very fast aside in here. Last night the Bucks finished their preseason undefeated.
Yeah.
And they interviewed Robin Lopez after, and Lopez said, "I am really excited to get to our season opener next
whatever. I saw that on your sportscast.
And do you see that?
Yeah, just as I got home. Yeah.
I tried to fake the real angry look when we came back, and I said, "It's Thursday. The game is Thursday. We're going to wrap things up on the Bill Michaels Show. Plenty more, though, with Mike Clemens. Do not go anywhere. We're right back.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
And they'll start with a flea flicker to open up the night. Yards, Stafford to Galladay.
Nice flea flicker, but it's important to note number 25, Will Redmond. He bit on the flea flicker, and he came up, and then Kenny Galladay just ran by number 20, Kevin King. King was expecting help. Number 25, Will Redmond, bit up on the flea flicker, and the lines opened with a bang.
And we opened in Wisconsin with a little bit of a nightmare, this thought of, oh, boy. Here's a team that found a weakness on the first play, Mike Clemens, Green and Gold Insider. Fortunately, it didn't work out that way, but it certainly didn't start well.
No, and then the ball to Hall, too, for 58 yards. Right. And fortunately, you know, you got Matt Stafford fumbling down in the red zone. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. And then, of course, you've got this great defense that, you know, holds them to five field goals in the game. Will Redmond is a tough football player. I mean, he's very physical. He'd been with the 49ers, and they picked him up from the Chiefs. So he's physical, but, you know, he's still a little lost in space back there when it comes to safety. And I guarantee you that Gruden and Derek Carr are going to go after him on Sunday as well if they decide to take some shots. You know, that's my question. I think they're going to have to use Adrian Amos to cover Waller, the big tight end, all right?
Yeah.
Which means Redmond might have to be the deep guy back there if they try and send one of their wide receivers downfield. So Mike Pettine, defensive coordinator, last night we got a chance to talk to him and said, all right, pal, what happened on the Daryl Bevel, Matthew Stafford flea flicker at the start of the game?
That was a heck of a call. You know, we were in a coverage where we had, you know, we were four deep and those guys were all kind of tight to the line. It was a run formation and hesitated just enough. And Kevin was in good shape early and then just took a quick peek back, and that's all it took. I mean, Stafford's one of the better deep ball throwers, as he proved those two in the first quarter in the league. And they got guys, you know, whether it was Hall or Galladay that could go up and get it. So, you know, that's a tip of the hat to them for the call and the execution. And you know, it's on us too that we got to be ready to go. And understanding, hey, this is on the back end. This is defending pass first, run second.
Okay. And you're going to win a lot of games and do a lot of good things with those approaches. But in this case, you open up a game and you get gassed right off the top. And I think maybe the better thing there is the recovery more than the play. In other words, there would be days where that would open up this like rip in the space-time continuum and they give up 45 points.
You know, and even though Gruden's old school too, he's doing these jet sweeps and he's doing these motions like everybody else is doing, like the Rams and the 49ers and now the Packers and all these other teams. So you're going to see that. And so Derek Carr has been through three or four offensive coordinators now the last couple of years with Gruden. And I just hear these great things about Gruden, though, as a coach. I mean, he's not a TV guy. He's still getting in there at 4:30 in the morning. He comes up with these little cue cards for Derek Carr that really just help focus. Here's the five things you really need to focus on today to work on. And then I won't throw anything else at you. And get good at those, and then we take it to the next step. And Derek Carr, you know, seems to really appreciate that. Now, but they're short at wide receiver. They had to make a trade for Zay Jones out of Buffalo. They did get Trevor Davis from, you know, the Packers for a six-round pick several weeks ago. And this is interesting because Derek Carr was asked, so what do you think about this Packers defense? You're too. Mike Pettine, the Smith brothers and all those guys. Savage back there at, you know, safety. By the way, he's out for sure. Darnell Savage is right out with the sprained ankle from the Cowboys game. And I thought Derek Carr had an interest. Remember, Derek Carr was Devontae Adams' quarterback at Fresno State. Those guys were together.
Right.
So Derek Carr talked about he actually thought he was going to get drafted by not the Raiders, but by the Cleveland Browns when Mike Pettine was the head coach there.
Well, I know Coach Pettine. You know, I got to know him pretty well in the draft process when he was in Cleveland. I was hoping to actually play for him. I loved him. You know, I think he's a heck of a coach. Very motivating. He's super cool. I thought he was awesome. And obviously his scheme is awesome. You know, they've done a great job with Za'Darius and Preston and Kenny and you know, their guys on the back end, their linebackers, I mean, they're all playing great football. I mean, you know, when we go out there, it's going to be a tough physical football game. It's going to be tough. They're a good team and with great coaches. So, you know, but you never underestimate Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the guy, you know, he can do whatever he wants with a football. He's like a magician back there. It's fun to watch, you know, and have had great conversations with him all throughout my career. You know, and he's been awesome in helping me with stuff and things like that. But hopefully we can beat them this week, and that would feel much better than having to continue to ask him questions knowing that they beat us again.
He's the second Carr, by the way, that I've covered in the NFL. I was about to say I covered Derek Carr this week, but I was in Houston for David. And it's funny how David and Derek are not only separated by so many years, but so much style. They don't even sound alike.
No, they don't, no. So the thing I think people will be impressed if they haven't seen the Raiders play in a couple of years is they'll run the ball. And they're giving the ball to Josh Jacobs, their running back, who's been able to participate. He's been dealing with an elbow injury coming out of the London game when they beat the Bears. But Tyrell Williams has still got a foot injury. He has not participated in practice. We're looking for the report out of Oakland when they practice a little bit later on this afternoon. So they're a little bit short at wide receiver as well. They know what the Packers are going through. And then Trent Brown. They're big, huge, one of the biggest guys in football, in the National Football League. He tweaked his calf muscle in Monday's comeback from the bye week practice. And then John Gruden was asked about the lawsuit that Trent Brown is. He's been lawsuit's been filed against him for domestic violence.
Oh my gosh!
So he's dealing with that, and there was no comment from Gruden on that. He wasn't going to talk about that. But you know, they claim that he's down with a calf muscle. Now he hasn't not practiced yet this week too. So that's an opportunity for the Packers on the right side of the Raiders' offensive line for Preston Smith to take advantage and pressure Derek Carr. And which is, by the way, I did get to have an off-microphone, a pretty good chat with Za'Darius, who said, you know, the sacks are great, but we're into pressures. You know, I mean, when you sack a quarterback, it's a 50-50 thing. You're going to get draw a flag. We just want to get him off of his launching point.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to do that as well with any of these quarterbacks they play. Just get the guy off of his comfort zone, and we'll probably get a pick out of it. You know, you got a better chance of getting a pick, obviously, than if you sack the quarterback. So that's what's in the mind of the Smith brothers when they get in the backfield. Oh, this will be something fun to watch, though, is Alec Ingold. He played at Bayport High in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Power is just a standout there. Then he got picked up by the Wisconsin Badgers, played there. He was a pretty good player as a fullback for the Badgers, right?
Yeah, he was a really good player, and he made a couple of positional changes too. I mean, he came in as a running back, and then they moved him to linebacker. And then when they had this surplus of linebackers, Paul Chris needed a second fullback behind Austin Ramish. So he brought Ingold back, and him and Ramish, they split the role, and they were both solid fullbacks throughout their time at Wisconsin.
Which ends up being his calling card.
Right.
And he gets an invite to the combine. Now, I don't think he got drafted, but the Raiders picked him up. And Gruden was saying, wasn't Ingold kind of a standout at the Senior Bowl? And here's what John Gruden said.
Yeah, we love Ingold at the Senior Bowl. We stamped a bunch of Raiders stickers on his helmet. He was really ticked off he didn't get drafted. And if I'd done anything right since I've been here coaching the Raiders, it was a recruiting call I made to Ingold. You know, I'm really happy about getting him here. He played quarterback at high school in Green Bay. This is a big game for him. I'm trying to get some video of him throwing the ball, but all I have is him handing off. But we're really thrilled with this kid. He's got a real presence about him and a huge upside.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, I think Ingold was the only fullback to participate at the combine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Gary Ellerson and I got a chance to chat with him when they brought in those Badgers that one day. But you know something? I mean, that's a Gruden kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big, physical, versatile. Yeah, I'll give you some snaps of offense, and you know you're going to play special teams, and you're going to take somebody's heads off. So what a thrill, though, for this kid to play Lambeau Field on Sunday.
That's going to be great, isn't it? Yeah. You love those return stories. I mean, if you're a fan in this state, you love to see those return stories because it's special to that player. They grew up here. This is how they formed their football life, and now they get a chance to come full circle.
Yeah, and I hear Wisconsin fans will say, how could you pass on this guy? He's right there in your backyard in Green Bay and Wisconsin, and some other team gets him. And it's like, you don't matter what college these guys are from.
That's right.
If you're doing your job as a scout in the Ron Wolf, the Ted Thompson, now the Brian Gutekunst system, it's a number. You add up all these scores on how they played and – you know, the challenges they had and their measurables and all that kind of stuff. And it's just a number. And you could, whether they're from Bethune-Cookman, you know, or Alabama, yeah. Good scouts don't care about the school. They care about the player, the athlete. And that's the marks of how they get put on that draft board, rated on the draft board.
Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider. I got two real fast notes as we wrap up the show. I want to take it all the way back to the beginning. That Packers team where Rodgers hit Janis to force overtime in the playoff game in Arizona. Give that team this defense, where do they go?
They stop Larry Fitzgerald from running up the middle of the field and
for
scoring
a
winning touchdown in overtime.
Right?
And, you know, I love Clay, but he blew it on that play.
Yeah. I think they were a Super Bowl team and maybe a Super Bowl winning team because they would have faced the Broncos in that Super Bowl. The other note is I want to congratulate you, Mike, and you, Joe, because both of you have as many 300-yard games of offense as the Bears this year.
Oh, really?
I'm honored. Yeah. Honored.
I just thought you guys deserved some congratulations for that. Mike, always appreciate it. I know we'll have some fun Sunday. All three of us will at Lambeau Field.
Thank you, guys.
Joe, appreciate it, man.
Kevin.
Bill will be in tonight for the Lodge Kohler kickoff from Leaps and Bounds Cafe Lodge Kohler. That's either at 5 or 6, depending on your station.
Yeah, the taping will be at 5 o'clock, live at 6 o'clock on many of these network stations.
Going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me in for the day. Bill is back on Monday. Much appreciated. Let's see if we can get to 6-1 on Sunday.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.